This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 Q Symposium here in the lovely island of Maui. And look who we have in the studio lounge, Jill Nowacki from Humanity. How are you, Jill?
I'm doing great. It's nice to see you in person instead of via Zoom.
Stuff we've been doing lately. Yeah, so yeah. Nice to see you in person as well. And you guys got out of
A little chilly there in Connecticut.
Those record lows. My gosh, what's going on with this world? Anywho, we're here in a warm environment, inviting, and we're talking this wacky labor market that we're in and how it's impacting credit unions. Because, I mean, I keep thinking about, this is what goes through my brain, is that we have record low unemployment. We have all these fintech layoffs or these technology layoffs that are occurring at the same time. And then, but still, this top-tier talent is so hard to get to, especially for credit unions. So what is your take on what's going on in the world right now, especially in the labor market? Because you are front and center here on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you said the top-tier talent. I'm not sure if you mean that by like executive level or like rank in the organization, because mid-management
just some
has
talented
been
talent.
Really... talented talent anywhere. Perfect. At all levels of the organization,
exactly.
that top talent.
It was,
it has been interesting. I will say I have seen an uptick in candidate interest again. So there was a point where that slowed down for a bit, and we are seeing another increase in that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really unique, and I think we've talked about this before, is that what continues to be perceived as very negotiable by candidates is location. And so you're talking about the fintech layoffs, for example, what we're seeing in that. I've reached out to a couple of those candidates, and two factors are like non-negotiable for them. One is, well, I only want a job that I can do remote. And for a lot of our credit unions, that isn't the case. We want people in our communities.
Yeah.
We want people who are part of our communities.
Right.
And then the other big change is, or the big kind of, the disconnect between like credit unions and being able to hire some of this talent is that the compensation levels they've been released from are not at the same levels as what most credit unions pay too.
Yeah.
And they're in a place where they probably got a decent enough severance package that they're thinking they're gonna wait it out, see what happens.
Right.
And I think what will be left to discover is how bad does this potential recession go, and is this something that people say, oh, okay, we can staff back up, or different industries are staffing up at those levels, or will we see a situation where ultimately some of these folks do have to go and find jobs that didn't pay
The thing that I heard is that at the tail end of the pandemic, or maybe even during it, is that a lot of people overhired and overpaid to get these people in and keep them, but then all of a sudden the economy doesn't do what people thought it was going to do, and so times started to get tough, and so that's why a lot of these people are getting laid off.
Yeah.
And like you said, then they expect that same level of pay coming into another industry. It's not always going to happen.
Even to take it back to our industry and to look at something that is where we are.
Yeah.
So we've seen the salary surveys that come out and say, okay, these positions, like increases are 7 to 9% or 10%. Well, how many years can you do that before that's not sustainable?
Exactly.
And so what I think we see right now is kind of this, well, if inflation is 9%, then my raise should be 9% for cost of living not even talking about merit increase.
Right.
And if you're not going to give me that raise, there's, you know, it's still such an employee-friendly job market that maybe I'll go find a job somewhere else.
Right.
We've consistently seen that when you change organizations, that's your best chance of increasing your salary.
Mm-hmm.
And so will we see more movement because organizations are saying, I can't keep giving employees 9% raises year after year after year.
Yeah.
But when we have to hire new talent and we can't find that, we bring them in at those higher levels.
Right.
And so seeing that other sort of competition in wages coming through is I think where we'll see the biggest impact on credit unions really with that.
Is there opportunities for credit unions to go kind of pick and choose from these fintech folks out there that are being laid off, or maybe even technology folks? Because obviously, I have to go back to my original statement. A lot of these folks at fintechs or even technology companies, sometimes the salaries are really, really high, yeah. especially in a Silicon Valley type area. So yeah. don't expect that to be the norm. So go back to the story about how you found this person on LinkedIn yeah. and they wanted to get back into the credit industry, but they wanted $500,000 as base pay. Like, yeah. oh my gosh, how does yeah. a credit union compete with that?
And kind of this idea too, I think, you know, the conversation I had, and it was very positive, very engaging right, conversation. Right. And the executive said, kind of along the lines of, well, if I can't make $500,000, maybe I'll just go out and do my own thing. I'll start up my own consulting or my own.
Okay.
And I think that shift toward, and this may be post-COVID, this may just be what we were destined toward anyway, and then COVID accelerated it. But there is very much a focus on, I only want to work in an environment that feels like the type of environment where I want to work.
Right,
so whether
right,
that's because
right.
it's an inclusive workplace, or whether that's because there's a lot of flexibility and a lot of autonomy with it. So in some cases we're seeing with these layoffs, and it's, you know, the company was a little bit toxic, I'm burnt out by it, maybe this is my chance
yeah, yeah.
to go try to do something that's more the gig economy.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the way the world works right now, that seems so much more accessible mm-hmm, than maybe it was mm-hmm. 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the, I think we talked about this a year ago or so, but this idea on the Great Resignation mm-hmm. and where people are going when they're leaving their jobs
yeah.
and a big chunk of those people going into that independent area.
Oh, yeah.
And so
oh, yeah.
that's, I'm curious, I think, you know, not everybody is looking for that $500,000 job, I'm sure. But so there may be some room for credit unions to tap into that talent.
See,
but
that's
it's
what I was thinking.
Also yeah, something that is curious about, like, is it tapping into that talent as FTE, or is it tapping into that talent as come in and give us a 6-month consulting engagement on how we're going to use AI more effectively mm-hmm. as consultants in that area
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because you kind of touched on my next question. Is like, how can credit unions, or how does this impact credit unions, or how can they compete in this yeah. in this? I mean, just based on that last story, it might be an anomaly.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there's a lot of people looking, yeah. especially coming from the technology sector, where a lot of people are, the salaries are very inflated.
Yeah.
Put it lightly.
Yeah.
So how can a credit union compete with that? Or can't, I don't know if they can on a salary level, but
yeah.
there's other ways, I'm sure, right?
Or, I you know what I do, you know what I care
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
And so we go back to the idea of, like, build that workplace that people actually want to be part of. Because if what we're competing against isn't just other 9-to-5 organizations,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but we're also competing against the gig economy, and we're competing yeah. against entrepreneurship, and we're competing against fintech and remote work,
mm-hmm.
we have to be able to differentiate our workplace
mm-hmm.
so that people really feel like it's a place that they're choosing to be
yeah.
and one that they want to be in. And I think that does, you know, that ties back to the work that we're saying, like, create an organization where people feel like they can come in, contribute at their highest value,
yeah. Yeah.
have a growth plan there,
mm-hmm.
and understand what those engagement and motivation
mm-hmm.
factors are
mm-hmm.
for your employees,
mm-hmm.
and then create that work experience that allows them to have those
yeah.
factors met.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that brings up a great point, because I was talking with Leslie Sears yesterday from Q's, who's presenting probably right now, but she was talking about, okay, another train. But she was talking about giving the employees, the staff, skin in the game.
Yeah.
You know, basically have a voice. You know, obviously there's privacy and things like that involved, but, and that's another way of making them feel valued and making
yeah.
a part, even at the executive level as well, right? So is that a way to?
Absolutely. And I'm gonna tell a story and kind of, you know, shameless plug as well. So there's a Jan Roche from State Department Federal Credit Union has announced her retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are gonna have the opportunity to search for her successor. And I was meeting with her board of directors, and we were talking about kind of what makes the culture of State Department really unique and interesting. And this is an organization that for years has really prioritized make sure that every employee in this organization can have their voice heard. And during that conversation, they told me a story of how it was an employee in the mail room who was able to present this idea that essentially said, if we do packages this way instead of this way, we can save $500 a day on this, and like huge savings.
Yeah,
and that being something that came from the mailroom and got to the board of directors.
Yeah.
And so that what is Jam doing in that culture that is creating an experience where a good idea can come from anywhere, that good idea can be voiced, and throughout the entire organization, the person who originated the idea is getting credit for the idea.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of it too, because a lot of times somebody will say, hey, manager, I had this idea, and manager will say, hey, vice president, there's this idea, and vice president will say, hey, CEO, let's try this thing, and then the idea just happened,
and
it's great for the organization,
but
the individual who originated the idea may not feel that stake in the game that you're talking about. They may not feel like by the time it gets up to where it is, they may not really connect it to this was my idea, and this is the impact on the organization, on the member, on the people that we're having there.
Yeah, we talked about that exact same scenario yesterday. Yeah, it was really cool. But the other thing that took it to another level is that's how you find your next leaders.
Yeah.
Is by those people bringing up these ideas, and you just never know.
Yeah.
So it's really
and that's
neat.
What, if they care enough to be thinking about the organization and not just manufacturing the widget, and my sense is that a majority of our credit union employees do care about the why. If they understand the mission, if they know why we're here, they live up to that. They rise to the level of that mission. But we have to make sure that they're given that opportunity.
No doubt. So another question for you along the same lines. Is it a buyer's market or is it a seller's market? Is it candidates still kind of somewhat in control?
I think
or is that pendulum coming back?
I think candidates still win right now.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different because I'm sure I'll say that and they're probably, you know, if I have a search and I have 20 candidates apply, 19 of them don't get the news they want.
Yeah.
So they're like, doesn't feel like it's my market. But that said, I think the negotiation is still more of that power is still in the candidate's hand. I think the selectiveness remains still more in the candidate's hand.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely something to be cognizant about and cautious of.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add? I didn't even ask what you were doing here.
I don't know. So. No, I just can't. Humanity has been a longtime sponsor of the Q Symposium. We love being here. It's a good chance for us to connect with our clients. This one I'm particularly proud of. I was looking at the roster and Jimmy said, you know, we did this first time attendees reception. I'm looking through the list and being like, Jill placed that one, Jill placed that one, Jill placed that one. So this is really fun. I think I have 6 first time attendees and first year CEOs here too.
Yeah,
so I'm getting to reconnect with them too and check in and see them interacting with their boards now, you know, outside of the interview setting.
Right. Yeah, it's really fun. That's one of my favorite things here is see the CEO and the board chair, the vice chair, how they interact.
Yeah.
And that working dynamic there is really fascinating. So, yeah, good stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, Jill, well, anything else to add? Any final thoughts here?
No, thank you. As always, Mike.
You are welcome. Always enjoy these chats. They're so educational. I learn a ton. So thank you for your expertise and keep up the good work there at Humanity. Well done.
Thank you.
All right.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.